And for those who are watching by way of social media, Father, we bless Facebook for making it possible for those who are not here with us to hear your word. We bless them, we bless them, we bless them. Oh, for making it possible for the gospel to be preached. We recall the days of the pandemic when churches didn't get to meet physically. I could get online, teach and preach. Thank you, Facebook for YouTube, for the things that they make possible and do for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 All right. Genesis chapter 43. Glory to God. You know, there's hardly ever anybody, anything that is all bad, right? Offer some redeeming values from, and we have to appreciate that. We have to appreciate the part that we can appreciate. Amen. Thank you, Father. We'll talk to you about, like I said, table. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Do want to say that thank you, Lord. You know, we talk about this so much because we're supposed to. Some people don't understand that. But and it's cost us some, you know, but hey, it cost Jesus blood stuff too, right? So we're not going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. We're called to do this. And you should know that we've tried not to do it. But because of, you know, misunderstanding, stuff like that. But we're not going to disobey God. We do want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So I wanted to say that before I teach this morning on the subject of divine prosperity. Because some people get tired of hearing it, you know. And in fact, this morning, I told the Lord, if I would have more time to talk about the demons and stuff, you know. he didn't want to hear any of that, so. Just so you know, especially those who are watching online, okay? Amen. So if the Lord is wanting you to come join this church, we're not going to ask you how much money you make, what your tax should be, none of that, okay? It's not about that, okay? But we have to preach God's word, and it's for your benefit, Okay, so I'm talking about giving and integrity, two conditions. For divine prosperity. These are not the only two, but there are two important conditions for divine prosperity. Other conditions include your love walk, walking in love. Includes confessing God's word, declaring what you believe. Faith must be in two places. Amen? Too many people, too many Christians have it in one place. They have it in their heart. Oh yeah, it's there, plenty. They believe Jesus died. Jesus the healer. Jesus is the financier. Jesus did anything. They never say it, though. Never say it. Faith must be in two places. If not going to work well. It's like the circuit. Some has damaged the circuitry. All right, let me just show you that. Just say that. Look at the book of Romans. Must be in two places. Faith must be in two places. I think that was the subject of my post. By the way, we had some technical difficulties. This is why the post went out on Friday this week instead of hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth, what does it mean to confess and declare? To agree with God. The Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart
Huh? It's not enough to believe in Yehovah, I have to confess with your mouth. Not enough to confess. If it's not in your mouth, if you confess with your mouth and it's not in your heart, that won't work either. That's empty, empty words. That God has risen from the dead, that shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, right standing, but it's with the mouth that confession is made unto possession. Hallelujah. In this case, the possession of salvation. So faith must be in two places. Your mouth, your heart and your mouth. There's no issue of heart faith for Christians. The issue is mouth faith. Mouth faith. God told Joshua, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You're talking every day. In other words, you should not be willing and absolutely refuse to say anything. Let any words come out of your mouth that contradict the scriptures. Absolutely not. And if they escape, you should be quick to call them back. Because words are seeds. Amen. Words are seeds. And sure enough, as we plant seeds, it's going to come up. Unless you're uprooted. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So your love walk is important. Your confession is important. Your patience is important. Many conditions to divine prosperity. But we're going to talk about giving and integrity. We may not get to the integrity part today, but so Genesis 43. When we're talking about this, going through the scriptures and gleaning from the scriptures, instruction about divine prosperity. We've been talking about the life of Joseph. That's a good one too. And sold into slavery, became deputy pharaoh. There's famine. Family has come to get some provisions and so forth. He recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And so he's trying to ascertain, make sure that this is his family. And so he holds one of them back and tells the rest of them to go bring the youngest of them that they didn't bring with them. And so they go back and they take their father. Father is not happy about it. I've already lost Joseph, if only he knew. But after they brought back the stuff they got from Egypt, ate it all, they got hungry again. So they started to go get some more food. And so last week we talked about how that they could go again and again and again. I like that. Okay? All right. So here's how they went, though. Verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, if you must go back and take your youngest, my youngest, now, here's how you do this. Take of the best fruits. I read that and they jumped out. Take of the best fruits. There's famine, guys. This is a time of famine. How many Christians say, I would give, but I just can't afford to? You just heard from the devil, friend. Oh, yeah. He's the one who told you that. Lord told me some time ago, I think I talked to you about how that money is a bully. He'll tell you, don't you dare give me away. You need me. You have to have me. Who's going to take care of you when you get old? How are you going to eat without me? Money talks. People say that and they mean that money has the influence. And it does. But money literally talks to you. Money can't talk. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what the devil wants you. The tree talked to Jesus. Oh yeah. So don't give me away. You need me. I'm your best friend. Keep me. Keep all of me you get. Can all of me you can, and then sit on it. Well, can't nobody get any of it. Because you need me. I'll take care of you when you're old. we laugh about it, but this is your business. This is why people don't obey God when it comes to finances. when he's talking to them. You can't do that. You can't afford to do that. What would happen? What about? And so to find that in the time of famine, Jacob is instructing his family to take the best fruits. That's a giver. That speaks of the tithe. The best. And those of us who tithe must make sure. Because it's easy to get in the rote of it, right? I mean, you know you're going to do it, and there's no doubt, no question, you're convinced. Not only that, you've seen the results of it. They can't convince you not to tithe anymore. Because you've seen the reality of it. But then you have to make sure that you don't make it a formality. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. You make it a thing of honor. Amen. Remembering, this is one way I honor God. This is one way of me telling him, Lord, but for you, I would have it. I remember, Lord, when I lived in the ghetto. Mm-hmm. I do. That's not just an illustration. Oh, glory. But all them days are gone forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I remember when this tithe was more than I could ever see at one time. It wasn't 10%, it was. What's that? What can I say? But oh, now it's 10%. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You brought me from a mighty long way, like the folks used to say. Huh? And then, Lord, I look forward to the day when this amount will be 1%.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And then will be 0.01%. And 0.001% and 0.0001%. So, those of us who are tithers, watch for it not becoming rogue, becoming No. That's it's a great thing that we're tithers, but keep it a matter of honor, a matter of appreciation for how he's brought us. Amen. And so he says, he instructs them, take the best fruits. Hallelujah. The best fruits in the time of famine. Take the best fruits in the land, in your vessels, and carry down, down the man a present. Take a present to him. Mm-hmm. A little balm, little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, almonds. Where are you getting all of this in the time of famine? That's a giver. At the top of the tide. When what you have is not enough, it's a perfect time to get God involved in your circumstances because only He can make a difference. Sure, you can go to the bank, but you know how that goes. I'm going to give you $1.75 back. Which is, it's not sin, but much better to go to the guy who will take the dollar and multiply it. Hallelujah. This is the type of the tithe. No question about it. And so the biblical definition of giving is tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. That's the biblical definition of giving. Four important things. Four important truths about the tithe. Number one, the first sin was over the tithe. People don't stop and think about it. Just because the word tithe is not in there. Huh? There was a garden. It was full of trees. And you have to know, you know God enough to know, those trees were, they had everything Adam and Eve could want. Amen. The variety was there. The color was there. Their taste buds. And I mean, it was every tree that could fulfill. Except these two trees. No. Those are mine. Through knowledge of life. But guess what? That's the one they wanted to have. It's the top of the tithe. You can have all of these trees, all of these fruits, except from those And devil came and tempted them and said, well, this is the one that you really have to have. Forget all those other ones. This is the one that will make you like God. Amen. And they were already like God. Yes. Made in his image. The first sin was over the tithe. No question about it. Number two, the first murder was over the tithe. Cain killed his brother Abel because his brother brought a tithe and he brought just whatever. I mean, if that's not the case, God was playing favorites. Why did he accept Abel's offering but not Cain's? Because Abel's was a tithe and an offering. Cain's was just whatever he could afford. Whatever he could spare. You know these scriptures. You can read them. Amen. And then look at this one. Let's go to this one. Now, you guys know this, but you know, the people that listen to us that are not necessarily taught this thing. So, Matthew 23:23. Jesus said you should tithe. Did you know that? What? He did it? Yeah. Show it to me. I'm about to. Matthew 23, verse number 23. He said it plainly. Pharisees were all taken up by their, Pharisaic, self-justification about we do this, we do that, we do the other. And so he, verse 23, lambasted the world to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Some people, that's all they read. So there you go again. See that? Jesus didn't hate the tithe. I keep reading. We didn't stop there. The weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. In other words, we could say these are some of the things involved in divine prosperity. Amen? So you can't tithe and then leave these others. Hallelujah. And then he said, these, meaning what? Meaning judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. What other is he talking about? The tithing part. Wonderful that you tithe, but don't forget these other ones. Amen. And so if you flip that, you could say, Jesus said, yeah, mercy is up, but don't forget the tithing part. Amen. Amen. Jesus said to tithe. Now here's what might shock some of you. Did you know Paul also said, so there's not in the New Testament about tithing. Come on, read the book. In fact, study the book. I suppose just look through it. Or go by what somebody said, that somebody said, that somebody said, that somebody said, that the Bible said. I could take to Hebrews chapter 7, but I won't do that. Go to 1 Corinthians. Jesus says you should tithe. Paul, in fact, referred to the Lord. You know, it's amazing how we think we know the Bible and we don't know. Don't be too confident about how much of the Bible you know. Amen. Because every now and then you read something like, I didn't know that was there. Woo, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is talking here about supporting the ministry. That's the subject matter. That's why it starts by saying, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus? Verse 2, if I'm not an apostle to others, I am to you. And then verse 4, have we not power to eat and drink? Talking about sustenance and the support of the ministry. Verse And they talked about Peter and so forth. Okay. Verse 6. Why are only one of us doing, don't we have power to forbid working and be supported? Anyway, that's what he's talking about. Who goes to warfare anytime at his own expense? They don't recruit you in the U.S. Navy and then you have to bring your own, you know, submarine or something. Okay? You go through all that and then it starts talking about the law in verse 8. Am I the only one saying these things? Am I saying these things as a man? Doesn't the law say it? And some people read that and say, see that, the law said it, but the grace doesn't say it. You keep reading. You ain't got that much grace. Actually, that's not grace. He says, it is written in the law, you should not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Talking about support of ministers. He said, did he say this for our sakes, or just for the sake? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth hope. Talking about support the whole time. It says, verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? It's talking about support the whole time. Okay? Remember now, he talked about the law. If others don't have the power, don't we? Okay, look at verse 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things, now he's talking about the tabernacle, and the Levites, and all that the priests, those who minister about holy things, lived off those holy things of the temple. Well, stop and ask yourself, what holy things? These were tithes and offerings, were they not? Amen. So he's talking about tithes and offerings. Mostly tithe. Didn't they leave of the things brought to the temple? Did you know the Levites didn't even have land? They couldn't go out and farm. They didn't even give him the land. God said, no. This is your job. This is what you ought to do. Which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. Well, what is he talking about? The stuff that was brought on the altar, the stuff that was sacrificed on the altar, the folks who waited on those stuff lived off of those stuff. Talk about tithe. And then he said in verse 14, even so, in the same manner, in the same manner that the Levites and the priests were supported, even so, then he said, saith the Lord. Who is the Lord? Isn't that Jesus? Even so hath the Lord ordained. This is what he has ordained to happen. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live up the gospel. How? By the tithes and offerings. So if you study that passage, there's no question. Paul says you should tithe. Amen. So four important things about the tithe. The first sin was over the tithe. First murder was over it. Jesus said to tithe. So did Paul. In fact, here Paul quotes Jesus that he ordained it. So folks will go by saying, well, if the tithe was New Testament, Paul would have talked about it. Well, is it good enough for you that Jesus talked about it? just arguments for no reason at all. Amen. Amen. So here's the challenge. Okay? Here's the challenge. For those of you who don't tithe and you're just not sure. You're like, I would like to, but as long as you're not hung up on the question of I can't afford it, because absolutely you can't afford not to. Here's a challenge for you. Look at Malachi 3. Yeah, I know you know it, but it's good to be there. there is a challenge in there. And the Lord has not really, there's not much in the Word about anything else where God says for you to prove Him. Huh? I haven't found too many things where He says, prove me. But He knew how important this money thing is to us. So He says, He gives you a challenge. Verse 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meet in my house. Prove me herewith. He says, prove me. See if I won't keep my part of it. So here's a challenge for you. Why don't you commit to tithing a whole year? 12 months. 12 months in a row. You tithe. And then check up and see what happened at the end of it. See if you're not better off. On the authority of this scripture. I didn't say try to. I said commit to it for a whole year. And I'll suggest you commit to it on the basis of not your net income, but your gross income. Now, if you own the business, I'm not talking about gross receipts on the business. I'm talking about the part that you take home as your own pay. If you get a paycheck from the government, then it's the whole paycheck. Commit, do that for 1 year. I challenge you on the authority of this book and see what happens. Amen. Amen. Okay? Now, to close this part of it, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I didn't challenge you, really. I should take that back. God challenges you. Huh? God said, do this. Prove me. Prove me. And He hasn't said that in many. I can't even think of any other area where He comes to us and says, hey, I'll give you a challenge in this. Because there's plenty He has in store for you that you are going without because you won't do this. You say, well, yeah, I have this, I have had that. Yeah, look, we've talked about this before. If you're prospering, so-called, after God, but beyond the, if you, oh Jesus, help me, Lord. Put it this way. If you're going to count, the Bible says, a man's life does not consist of the possessions he has. If you're going to look at your possessions and say, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Listen, the mafia could say that to you. You know that, right? Oh, yeah. The mafia could say that. Huh? The mafia could. So don't talk to me about, well, you know, I'm doing fine, the Lord is blessed, and so forth. You're living on the mercy of God. And you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be doing that. You're living in the blessing. The blessing of the Lord has made me rich. I don't know sorrow. That's where you want to be. You can't be if you're not obeying God's word. Okay. Who was I headed? That's it. First Corinthians, chapter 5. First Corinthians, chapter 5. Here's a part of God's word saying, prove me in this. Here's the closest thing I can find on this. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse number. Oh, Jesus. Can I do it again? Where am I? 1 Corinthians 5, I have verse 21, and there's no verse 21 in 1 Corinthians 5. Oh, God. Okay. Let's see 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about salvation, doesn't it? Lord. Okay. The scripture I'm looking for says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is true. If you find me, let me know. Look at your concordance or something. I got to show folks. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is true.
1 Thessalonians.
Is it Thessalonians? Oh, Jesus. How did I get it? Woo! Okay. You know that? I know that. Okay. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So, I'm asking you to prove this tithing business. Prove it. Prove it. Don't just go by what Reverend so-and-so and Bishop so-and-so said. Prove it for yourself. Tithe the whole year. And see what happens. Compare your books. And see if God didn't keep his word. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen?
You didn't finish. You're saying 1 Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21.
Okay, 5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that scripture well. 22 says too. Okay. I'm what? Corinthians. Ooh, Jesus. Amen, amen. All right. So, we will receive our tithes and offerings at the end of service. And if you are led to give, I don't like to say that because I don't want to look so that this is why I've been doing this teaching. But if God puts on your heart to support our church, we have a website, www.bereagoshenchurch.org, and there's a button there where you can go there and obey the law. Amen. Amen. We'll talk about the integrity part next week. I didn't think we're going to get that far into it, but glory to God.
Hold on, let me make sure.
Okay, we talk about demonology, the devil and demons. And we talked about a number of fronts. Look at the book of Revelation chapter 21. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 12. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 12. Thank you, Father. Look at verse number 12. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, anger, angry. You know, stop and think about this now. What is really the mission of the devil? Think about that. Jesus' mission was to save. The angel told Mary to call his name Jesus because he would save his people. But guess what? The mission of the devil is to damn people. That's one reason why it's ungodly to use the word damn in connection with God, because he is not the damner. Not even close. The devil is the damner. And that's his mission. He's angry because he doesn't have a whole lot of time left to carry out his mission. Imagine that. My goodness. What do you get when you serve the devil faithfully? Do you get a crown? No. Oh, man. Any kind of reward? No. When he's done using you, he may have you die of some kind of drug overdose or something. That's what you get for serving him faithfully. Being his disciple. Being his apostle. My. And he's angry. He's angry because he doesn't have much time left to do his damage. Do his stealing, killing, and destroying. What kind of being is that? My. And so the time is short. So the time being short, and him being angry, do you suppose that he's doubling up his efforts? Oh yeah. And tripling and quadrupling his efforts to steal and kill and destroy before he runs out of time? which is why teaching like this is important. I mean, North America, Europe, it just seems like all the devils have left. North America and Europe. They're all in Africa and Asia. Because nobody talks about it. And yeah, we talk about things like schizophrenia and psychotic. I don't know what we think that is. Those are demons. For the most part. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of that is, but you know, I mean, there could be natural causes, but a bunch of those are demonic in origin, which is why some of these folks cannot be helped until you cast out the devil or the demon. They were so sophisticated with our hospitals and so on, and our doctors and all kinds of specialties and so forth. But this is one area we ain't got covered. The only way to cover this area is through this book. All the devils and demons are not all in Asia and Africa. There are plenty of them in North America and Europe. they've gotten westernized and smart and operate undercover. The whole host of areas. His time is short, so he's doubling his efforts to do his damage. You know, we see things like, what is it? School shooting. Some person gets into school and just shoots at a bunch of kids. What do you think that is? That's demon activity. Nobody in the direct mind would do that. Not to children. But all we look at that and we say, well, you know, law enforcement and we'll forget. This is what boils down to. Just the other day, I was watching the news, and this one guy went into a gas station, got in some gas in a bottle, went into a train station, poured it on this woman, and lit her up. I think he chased her around or something. And lit her up. What makes somebody do that? A demon. That's what. It's not just mental illness. Where do you think that mental illness came from? In many, many cases. I want to be sure to make sure I'm not saying all of it is, but a bunch of it is. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, terrorists. What do you think? Whose idea is that? A demon? Stealing, killing, destroying. Time is running short. He knows Jesus is coming back soon. So he's done up his efforts. Here's one that. Where do you suppose slavery came from? Jim Crow, all of that. Whose idea was that? A demon? Who suggested it to men, and they carried it out. So if you're dealing with the men that carried it out, and forget the force behind it, you are going to be there forever without making much progress at all. If you ignore the spiritual realm and the origins of that, and too much of the time, we have ignored that. We've concentrated on the people the devil was using, and demons were using, and forgot about the demons themselves. Some of these folks can get to a point where they wish they were not like that. Huh? Because they've been taken over. They say things that don't really even make sense to themselves. They wonder, somebody says, some of these guys, if someone is talking to you, you hear hearing voices, those are demons, my friend. You may not know it, but you can tell them to shut up in the name of Jesus. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You hear hearing voices, telling you to do this, do that. Tell the voice to shut up in Jesus' name. Well, give your life to Jesus first. So So Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. That's all it takes. A sincere heart. And then use your authority and tell those voices to shut up. See, so this is the realm that we don't know. Okay? And this person like that will have counseling upon counseling and this and that and nothing seems to work. Because there's a demon behind it. But so modernized, so westernized, you know. That stuff for heathens and stuff. Are you kidding me? There are demons all over, you know. Manhattan, did you know that? Oh, yeah. Time is short. So he's really going at it. Slavery. Hitler, where do you think Hitler came from? How are you going to gas millions of people? How did that come from? Idi Amin. Where did that come from? Stalin. Where did that come from? Demons. Amen. Time is short for him, so he is going at it. All right, so let's talk about the general habits of demons. Look at Luke 11. Luke 11. So don't think that, you know, this is something, you know, Africans, Asians, and, you know, and the Middle East and places like that. And no, we don't believe in stuff like that in North America. You know, Canada, U.S., you know, Sweden, France, Paris. We don't have any demons over there. Yeah, right. Luke 11. Look at verse 14. And he was casting out a devil. Literally a demon. This is talking about Jesus. And it was dumb. What does that mean? This was this demon's specialty. Oh yeah. There are specialties in the realm of demons. This was this demon's specialty. And it's quite obvious here when you read this verse. The demon was dumb. And it came to pass. When the devil was gone out, the dumb was able to speak. Which means that dumb devil was causing the dumbness. Amen. And the people wonder. Oh yeah. Because some of them thought this was a natural thing. Oh no, there was a devil behind it. So here's a demon behind a physical ailment. Somebody unable to speak. And I've said this before, I say it again. If this guy had gone to medical, gone to get medical help, it wouldn't have helped him much. He wouldn't have responded much to medical treatment because there was a demon behind it. That demon had to be cast out first. And it was. Thank God. So there are people today who can't speak. I'm not saying everybody who's dumb can't speak. You know, there are people who can't speak today and there's a demon behind it. And they're not ever going to be able to speak until that demon's cast out. And guess what? This demon isn't going to leave willingly.
Yeah.
You can't beg it and cajole it and therapy it out. He's got to be cast out. Look at verse 15. But some of them said he casted out devils through the Beelzebub, the chief of devils. So there's a hierarchy among devils. Oh yeah. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that, right? Principalities, powers, rule of darkness, so on and so forth. The people even recognize that. And then devils himself, and then he gave us some insight as to how demons operate. Look at verse 24. First of all, look at that. So they accused him of casting out this devil by devil power. And he told them, that doesn't even make a lick of sense. That doesn't make sense. You're not even making any sense. And then he told him how he did it in verse 20. But if I were the finger of God. That's all it takes. The finger of God. An authority. My goodness. And you are that finger of God. Amen. Alright, look at verse 24. It says, when the unclean spirit. What does that mean, the unclean spirit? That says exactly what it means. Demon is unclean. As opposed to the Holy Spirit, this is an unholy spirit.
Amen.
That's another word for saying when the demon spirit, when the demon, when it's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest. So these are restless spirits until they find a home. Or find what they call a home. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house. Imagine that. The thief that he is. He's not calling it his house. I will return to my house. Why is Jesus teaching about this? Because he had just cast out a demon. And he's letting people know what could happen. Once a demon is cast out, he might come back. Seeking rest and finding none, he said, I will return unto my house where I came out. And then when he comes, he finds it swept and garnished and empty. In other words, this person didn't fill the void with the word of God and dedication to God. Which is what he should have done. That's what he should have done. He didn't do it. And so then, the demon came back, took a peep, and said, I still got my space. Let me go get me some brethren demons. And he goes out. This is Jesus telling us now. He goes out and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked. Oh, so there's a level of wickedness. Demon possession. The demon's responsible for cancer. Again, I'm not saying anybody who has cancer has a demon. But if you know anything about how cancer works, it's not too far to understand that demons could be involved. Mm-hmm. Cancer is nothing but some rebellious cells in your body. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Going up and down, trying to create havoc. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. An invasion of rebellious cells. Cells run amok. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, brother and sister, you can tell that cancer, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Get on out of here now. Hallelujah. It says he goes out and gets seven other spirits more wicked. Isn't that something? It's devil. Why would you want to do that? So this friend is more miserable? That's the plan. I mean, compare that to God. God trying to make you happier, more peaceful than ever. The devil trying to make you more miserable than ever. Goes out and gets him more seven devils, not the same wickedness as he is, but more wicked. Oh, man. And they come back, and they enter in, and they dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He has something to do with it. He could have filled that void with the word of God, the peace of God, the goodness of God, dedication, consecration to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or the demons couldn't have any room. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't. Here are some things to know. Demons want to inhabit humans and animals. They want a home. Why? Because they can have their greatest expression when they inhabit a human or an animal. And they will remain there until they are forcibly rejected. They're not going to live on their own. Uh-uh. I don't want to make a joke of this, but they're, it's free rent, you know. Why should they leave? Expressing themselves through this person. Through schizophrenia or any one of these what we call mental conditions. Many of them are not just mental, they go beyond mental, they're spiritual conditions that cause the mental difficulties. People hearing voices, telling them to kill yourself. That's a devil, demon talking to you. Tell them, no, not going to do that. And if you had power enough to do it, you'd already done it. You're trying to talk me to hurt myself. Because you can't do it on your own evidently. Amen? You just tell it, no, won't do it. What you going to do about it? Amen? Get you an attitude about it. Cut yourself. No, I'm not cutting myself. Not going to do it. What you going to do about that? In fact, get out of my mind now. In the name of Jesus. All right. So they have the greatest expression when they inhabit a human. And they will remain there until they are ejected. They will not depart on their own. And will often seek to come back if they can't find another body. Now, this mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R. This mirrors behavior of sickness, disease, and infirmity. It does. You must not only know how to receive your healing, but know how to keep it. There are plenty of times when folks are healed and lose it. Oh yeah. Some folks go in a healing line, Benny Hill, someone lays hands on them, and the thing is gone. They know. And then 2-3 days later, I thought I was healed. Well, see, when you said that, you just asked the sickness back. It kept knocking. You said, now, you're talking like a sickness is a personality. Of course it is. Amen. Folks don't know that. You gotta know how to receive your healing, but also know how to maintain it. Well, you should say at the first onset of the symptoms, no, I was healed and I'm not taking you back. I'm not taking you back. See, there again we go with faith in your heart and in your mouth. Huh? If you just have it in your heart, not gonna work too well. System is designed for faith to be in two places. Amen. Yeah, the symptoms will present themselves to see if they will be accepted, and the condition therefore returns. You've heard about cancer going in remission, have you not? What do you think that is? The cancer wanted to come back. In fact, doctors can't really even tell you that you're cancer-free. Well, they say that, but they can't guarantee it. Here's your guarantee. Amen. Ooh, himself talk all cancer on your behalf. That's your guarantee. Nothing wrong going to see doctors, but here's your final word. Here's your final offer. Hallelujah. They talk about remission. That's it coming back. And part of the problem with people is the cancer gone? Well, it's in remission. That means you're preparing for it to come back. People don't know it when they're saying that, but my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Just because you don't know that the car coming at you when you're crossing the street, you're absent-minded, that don't mean it's not going to hit you. If you don't know that thing you're about to drink is not Coca-Cola, but some kind of poison, guess what? It's going to hurt you the same, whether you knew it or not. Absolutely. This demonic activity of leaving and then come back to see, can I get back into my house? Mirrors certain sicknesses and diseases. In fact, it mirrors all kinds of situations where you're healed of anything. And then the symptom comes back. No. I'm done with you. I don't know. Pass on by. Hallelujah. Now here's what's involved in that fear. There's fear involved. I don't want to say that I'm cancer free. I don't want to say I'll never have cancer. Because, you know, you just never know. Oh, that's your problem. I know. I know what Matthew 8:17 says. I know that. I believe it. And I act on it. I accept that as fact and truth. Not just a proposition. Himself took. Not gonna take. Took. If he took it, it's not there for me to take. I have a choice to make. And receive the fact that he took it. Fear is expecting something to happen that you don't really want to happen. Isn't that something? Oh yeah, that's what it is. You're expecting something to happen that you really don't want it to happen. But somehow you're expecting it anyway. Faith is that expecting something to happen that you do want to happen. Amen. Huh? Opposite forces. But they work on the same principle. The principle of expectation. Oh yeah, that's it. Expectation. Expectation. If you expect it, you have licensed it to come to you, whether you really want it to or not. Your expectation is your grant of permission. That's what it is. Oral Roberts, the apostle Oral Roberts, used to tell people all the time, expect a miracle. Huh? Oh yeah. Expect a miracle. How do you expect? Well, what did you think and do the last time you expected someone in your home? You prepared for their arrival, did you not? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Your thought processes were engaged in receiving them. So here is fear expectation. You start to plan for what you expect but don't want. You start to plan for it. Start to set aside money for it. Just in case it shows up. Huh? Oh yeah, you're expecting it. And you're going to have to deal with it. So preparing for its arrival is part of expectation. And that begins with your thinking. Begins with your thinking. What is your outlook about this issue? Is your outlook that you are, your life is without it, or your life is with it? Expectation. So, all right, here is it. We don't have a couple minutes left. Right? Look at Mark 5. Here's the classic thank you, Lord. The classic passage of demon, in this case, possession. Notice in Mark 4. Thank you, Lord. Jesus has worked all day preaching, teaching, healing. And the Bible says, verse 35, Mark chapter 4, 35. The same day, when evening was come, when it was time to go home, take your shoes off and relax, because you work all day long. He had one more task. There was a demon-possessed individual he had to set free. You should see that connection with that. And he tells them, let us go over to the other side. Let's cross the Sea of Galilee. And you know what happened, right? When they were trying to go. This is when the storm came up. I wonder why. The devil tried to stop Jesus from getting over there and setting this demoniac free. Trying to drown him and his disciples. And he had to rebuke the wind, declare peace, all of that, to get over there. And as soon as he got on shore, he came running. The demoniac came running. And they will come over, chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, and the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, this was the mission. This is why he had to go across the sea. And it's also why the devil tried to keep him from doing it. Tried to drown him with that stone. Immediately, they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And he was, oh my. He was possessed. And we'll end with this note. Notice that as possessed as he was, the devil could not completely take him over. Could not. He was able to run to the answer. And thank God he did receive the answer. And so the devil cannot ever take you so much over that you can't call out to Jesus. Amen. Kind of Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that has no temptation overtaking you that is not common to man, but with that temptation, God always provides a way of escape. And our decision then is to take that way of escape. All of that is to say, the devil ain't what he wants you to think he is. He wants you to think he can just bulldoze you and make you do stuff. The devil made me do it. That's ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. He can't make you do anything you don't want to do. He can't. Doesn't have that power. He must get your cooperation, your permission. Amen. Well, that's all the time we've got. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, that you have not left us at the mercy of Lucifer, of the devil, of Satan. We have power over his works. He is under our feet. Hallelujah. Unless we cooperate, he can't do anything to hurt us. Thank you, Father, for that revelation. We are in charge. We praise you, we bless you for further insight into all of this. On a practical level, where we live, so that we are more acute in the realm of the spirit, more aware of things happening in the other realm that affect this natural realm that we walk in and live in. That we're not unaware of the devices of the devil. So we could always put him in his place. In our lives and in the lives of all people that would allow us to. We praise you and we bless you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that the time is short. When all of this will be wrapped up, And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. Look forward to that day. Until then, we will keep the devil under our feet. Oh, and keep him there. Not just put him there, keep him there. Where sickness is concerned, where disease is concerned, where depression is concerned, where poverty is concerned, where the entirety of the curse is concerned. Because we are free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. The blood has set us free. Thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Jesus' name, amen, amen. My friend, do you know him? Him who came to set you free forever. If you don't, do it today. Don't put it off. Why? What have you got to lose? Except a bunch of, you know, headaches and uncertainty and not knowing where to turn. What have you got to lose? Receive Jesus today. How do you do that, you say? A sincere heart and a confession of your mouth. So if you're ready, I'm going to lead you in prayer. It's not a long prayer, simple prayer, but it depends a lot on the sincerity of your heart. So if you're ready, say this. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language. I accept you as the guide of the rest of my life. I'll follow you to the best of my ability. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer and you prayed with honesty from your heart, you did exactly what he said he would do. And yeah, he'll lead you to a church. You'll become a Christian. And you can begin your new life in him. And we do invite you. And if you live too far off, more than an hour or something, and not to say that God can't have you go to a church where you have trouble in an hour, but if not, keep watching, because we're going to be back here, same place, next week. Mm-hmm. We love you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Let me change that scripture. First, that is something else.